On behalf of the Newhall Family Theater and Mark II Entertainment, welcome to the extended interview of Talking Backstage. Hi, welcome to another episode of Talking Backstage. I'm your host, Tom Lund. Today, my guest is Emma Howard. Emma Howard is an actress who made her Broadway debut in the musical Matilda and then also was in the musical Violet. Hi, Emma, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for joining us today on Talking Backstage.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So the first question, what schools did you attend? If you attended school in Santa Clarita, or what were your elementary school and junior high school? What was that path for you?
Yeah, I went to my elementary school was North Park. So, and I live really, really close to North Park. So yeah, I went through my entire kindergarten through sixth grade, in North Park. And then I started going to Rio Norte, for like half a year. And as soon as it was like Halloween time, I found out I got Matilda on Halloween. So I had left and went to New York.
Okay.
Like it was so fast being in Rio Norte that it wasn't really a full experience, I wouldn't say.
Sure.
But after that I did a middle school in New York called PPAS. Okay. And I also went to a high school called LOXA. So
right, the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you kind of hinted at it that, you know, you were an actress at a very young age. What age did you start performing?
I started performing at a very, very, very young age. I was four, I believe, was the first time I started performing. But my parents would always tell me, like, you were singing before you could barely speak and all of that.
Sure.
I there was a theater group across the street from my house, very luckily. It was kind of low-key. It was for fun mostly, but I would take it very seriously, even at like a toddler age. So,
sure.
My parents could kind of see that this was something that wasn't just a hobby. You know, it was something that I wanted to pursue long term. And it very much happened that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. So were you involved with like local community theater before obviously making the jump across the country?
Oh, yeah. I did Canyon Theater Guild. I did.
Okay.
Escape Theater. Those two mostly before I also did like Met Too, but that's not that close to Santa Clarita. But yeah, a lot of different places that if there was a show that I wanted to do, like I didn't care which theater company it was with. I would go and do it. And that was amazing because then I could like build up my friends and my people and my circle of artists. And that's always really, really helpful. So it was, amazing to go to all these different places before I went. Yeah.
So what made you interested in theater? Like you said that you were kind of always like singing before you could talk. Were your parents, were they the ones that kind of helped usher you towards theater, or did they like take you to theater productions and you said, hey, I want to kind of try that?
I think a lot of it had to do with my personality as a toddler, kind of performing for everyone, always needing to be the center of attention, always. I mean, that was just my thing. So I think that they kind of connected the dots instead of me being like, I wanted to, because it's like you're four and or whatever the age you are and you don't know like how to say what you want to do. But it was pretty obvious. I would always perform as the people on TV, Disney Channel. I would always do all these different skits and things for my family members. So they were like, she's serious about this. So they just kind of did what I was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. And that kind of just led to a career in it.
So you said, you know, that you got started, it was around the junior high age that you were cast in the musical Matilda. So what was that process like? How did you go from doing community theater to then doing more of a professional style? And then especially going from California theater to all the way into New York, if you could just walk us through that process.
Yeah, well, I okay, speaking of like theater at home here, I was in how many productions of Annie playing Annie, and like I know it's so like it's the role for children who are 11 years old, and they were doing a revival on Broadway, so I obviously was like, I don't even care if I don't get a callback. This is something I need to do just because I'm me, and it wouldn't make sense if I didn't even try. So we went to New York, and then I ended up being in the final seven for Annie in my first Broadway audition ever.
Wow.
And I think that that was kind of, that kind of told me and my family that this is possible, that it's not just like, it's not just a joke, or, you know, it like, it wasn't just something to be like, why not try it? It was something that could actually happen. So we ended up going to, I went to a summer program called BAA, Broadway Artists Alliance. And that was in New York. And that was so amazing, because that's when I got to perform in front of creative teams and different agents. That's where I met my first agent, and she would send me out for things. And yeah, I mean, I would still do stuff here, but if I got a call to go to New York or to send something to New York, I would do it because I wanted it really bad. So
So when you auditioned for Annie, were you represented, or was it more what we call in the industry a cattle call, whereas anyone can show up to the audition?
Initially, it was I can't remember. Initially, it was a cattle call, and it was overwhelming, to say the least. So many
people. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So then Annie didn't work out. But then, if I remember correctly, I've seen some of your other interviews that you've done, that not too long after, you know, the Annie auditions, you were able to get cast in Matilda. How long of a process? What was, you know, the time span between the two?
Time span. Annie opened on Broadway in 2012, and we opened Matilda 2013. So I'd say it was pretty quick, luckily, because I didn't want to wait. You know, I mean, I think the kind of the fact that I was so, I was like 11 and stubborn, and the idea that I didn't get this, I was like, if I didn't get this, I need to get this. And I cared more about getting this, obviously, when I got into the auditions and the process. I was like, I want this even more. And I got it. So yeah, everything happens for a reason, I guess. And stubbornness helps, you know.
Absolutely. So walk us through, so you get cast in a Broadway show, what's the rehearsal process like? And then also after the rehearsal process, once you open, what's the process like? Because, you know, Broadway, they do 8 shows a week. So walk us through, you know, what would a typical day be like for you in the rehearsal process? And then once you get into performances, what were your days like leading up to a show at night?
Yeah, well, it was kind of different because we had to do school work as kids.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something that I always had to struggle with like rehearsals and everything. Just the idea of school. And if you're rehearsing for hours and hours and you still need to get your school hours in, was very, very difficult for me always. But now we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, we were there before the adults, all of the kids. We were there to learn the choreography early and to integrate when they came in. So it was like a lot more comfortable for all of us. There were a few of us that were, there were a lot of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like there's kids and they don't really know each other. We were young. So it was our first time in New York. Most of us are Broadway debut. So we were all very, very excited and just like going crazy. But the rehearsal process was very, very rigorous and like kind of terrifying for me at first, because it was our choreographers were very strict, but in the way that they were just like, they know what they want, and they treated us like we were professionals, because we were being thrown into this professional world, and that's what we asked for. So yeah, I mean, it was really, really long days, and when it came to opening and everything, it would get really, really hectic around preview time, because things are still changeable, and once it's opened, you can't really change very much. And so like they could like cut lines, add things, all of this craziness. They could stop the show. But we did have to do rehearsals all the time, even after it opened. So, and I think people don't even realize that. They think it's just like, oh, you go to the theater and then you do your thing and leave. But it's kind of like an all day thing. So, yeah.
Gotcha. So even once the show's open, you said you're still doing rehearsals. Is that like you would do, say, maybe once or twice a week or once a month just to brush up on everything to make sure things are clean? Or is it just kind of as needed, you guys would go in for a rehearsal?
It changed a lot. It was different. But I'd say we had to be in 2 hours before every single show and rehearse anyway. So even if we didn't have rehearsal that day, we still have to come in really early, which was difficult with school, but we figured it out somehow. But they also, when we had to bring in new people, especially, we had like every 9 months, we would bring in a new set of Matildas. We had adults leaving all the time, kids leaving. So we have to have like different put in rehearsals, understudy rehearsals, because I was an understudy as well. Swing rehearsals, because we had swings flying into the audience, scooter rehearsals, all of it.
Oh, yeah. All of that. What's the word that I'm looking for? But yeah, so more of the physical stuff, because if I remember correctly, I think there's a picture that you're on one of those swings and you just like go practically like over the audience is what it looks like in the photo. What was that like? I mean, as a kid, do you look at that and go, yeah, this looks like fun? Or was there any trepidation for that for you?
I think there was for my mom. because, I mean, it was so scary when we first tried it, like when we were in rehearsals for it. But yeah, if there's one thing that I could go back and have that feeling again of going over like the Schubert Theater, that's something I really miss. I wish I could just like memory screenshot that, but it was amazing. Yeah.
Sure. One of the things you mentioned is that even during the preview period, there could still be changes. You know, you said you could cut dialogue, you could cut choreography, you could add choreography, you could add people. How often on your specific productions, how often was that happening? And was that difficult as a young person to all of a sudden something changes on the fly and just kind of go with it, especially it being your first professional production?
Yeah. For us, I think it was a little different because our creative team was in London. So they would get, we would film the show for them. They would watch it, give us notes. And it was kind of different because I don't think that they can change a whole lot without being there. They're amazing and they figured out what works and what doesn't from miles and miles, ocean away. We did have a lot to change, but I also, it wasn't hard for us, I think, because we kind of got the groove of everything as soon as we started previews, I think, because it wasn't that drastic of changes that we would throw us off completely. But
well, that's good. So talking about, you know, flying out and dancing and performing at the Schubert Theater, is fairly large. And then I also know that you got the opportunity to perform at Radio City Music Hall for the Tony Awards. What's it like performing in front of that large of an audience? Because out here, you know, our largest house in Santa Clarita is the Performing Arts Center at College of the Canyons, and that's just about 900. We're talking about something that's twice as big with the Schubert and then like five times the size with Radio City Music Hall. So what was that like for you?
The Schubert was big when we were there, but as soon as we went to Radio City, it was like the Schubert was nothing.
It was
It was nothing like I'd ever seen before, ever. Just looking out, and it was just rows upon rows upon rows, and it was, I mean, it honestly a bit more comforting in my opinion to have a lot of people that you really can't see unless they're in the front row, and I mean, the people that were in the front row were like the big A-list celebrities that scared me, but also excited me so much. But I also feel like with intimate theaters, it's harder and to, I mean, not harder, but it puts a lot more pressure on the actor to connect with everybody in the room. And I feel like it's more, it's easier to kind of not, if you can't really see everyone, and a little bit more fourth wall is easier to kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's
hard
to kind of be in the story sometimes if it's like very close knit.
Yeah, when you're sitting in a small, intimate theater, you have that ability to kind of walk out, and almost in some theaters, you're practically walking on top of the audience because of how small it is. And that can totally throw you off. Whereas if you're in this big, massive house, like you said, you can't see past even, say, like the third row, and you go, great, I don't have to worry about it because I'm not going to all of a sudden like look and be like, why is that guy on his phone, you know, 12 rows back? Whereas a small house, you could see that, and that could obviously throw you off.
No, yeah, no, just like engagement with audience members, and I mean, it's different with like Shakespeare or whatever, but like, cause the, it would be more inclusive and like talking with people, but yeah, it, yeah, I find it easier to be in bigger audiences. So.
Did you ever deal with stage fright or anything like that as a kid? Or were you one of those kind of fearless kids? You got on the stage and you just felt, this is home. This is where I'm most comfortable.
So the, I always got a little bit nervous, obviously, before I would go on stage, and people would be like, yeah, that's just, that's, you're normal. But the, I never really had stage fright ever. I would always, I'd always definitely get nervous. But as soon as I got on, it was like, I want to go back on. I want to go back on, and I can't be sitting backstage anymore. So yeah, I, not really. I haven't really struggled with that before.
Well, that's good. One of the things I saw in one of your interviews was when you're, you know, I think it was when you were still in production for Matilda, and you were talking about one of your favorite Broadway performers is Sutton Foster. And then you were able to do Violet with Sutton Foster. So what was that like, you know, performing on stage in rehearsals, being even backstage with her? What was it like being, you know, in a production with someone that you've looked up to?
Yeah, it's daunting at first, especially when you first get the phone call, when you go to the first rehearsal and see the person that you look up to in their element and in what they're, how they prepare. And it's very interesting really to watch, but it was, she's lovely. You know, she is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. And it, you can tell through people's acting, honestly, in their performances, and they're genuine. And I can really tell that with her. She, I was an understudy, you know, and she made me feel really, really welcome and really accepted. And I think it's kind of weird because there have been a few moments in my career where I've said to myself, like, I'm gonna work with this person. And then it happens, and I honestly just need to, now I keep saying it to myself, I'm like, I'm gonna work with Saoirse Ronan, I'm gonna work with Florence Pugh, because like I want this to happen so bad. And then it ends up happening because you manifest it or whatever, and it doesn't feel like crazy anymore. I don't know when it happens, it's just kind of, you're, they are your equals, and that's crazy to think about, but it's true and it's amazing.
Were there any like classes that you took, like any acting or performing classes that you took growing up that helped shape you as a performer? Or were you more of a hands-on, like, you know, I'll do this production, I'll do that production, and you're more learning while you're working?
I'd say both. I was a competitive dancer my whole life. Like my whole life until I was a senior and went off to college. But I also did a lot of acting classes in Hollywood and Studio City, but I also found that, yeah, doing different productions and getting different characters were very, very helpful. And it taught me how to, like, how to be different people, how to approach different characters, different worlds, I find that to be really, really helpful. But I also think that the dancing and singing lessons that I took from outside of that stuff was really important and took up a lot of my time as a kid. But like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's how I wanted it to be anyway. So
sure. So going a little different path now, you did your productions in New York and then you've come back to California and you decided to attend the Los Angeles County High School for the Performing Arts, LACSA. What was that decision process to attend a school like that? And then what was the education that you got there?
Well, the idea behind it was we heard a lot about LACSA and we heard that a lot of really, really amazing friends of ours went there, really loved it. And I auditioned for the dance program, actually.
Okay.
And because we kind of thought that that would be my best in, honestly, because that was kind of my best of the three, acting, singing, dancing at the time. And I got into the dance program, which is very classical, a lot of ballet, 2.5 hours every single day of dancing. And then I would go home and do competitive dancing at my studio. And then, but I also joined the musical theater program there, which was really, really fun and was probably the most amazing memories I can think of from high school is everything from musical theater. So yeah, I mean, it was difficult, very difficult, especially doing auditions for flying back and forth to New York and understandably so, like teachers getting like frustrated, but it was amazing. I wouldn't take that 4 years back, even though I complained a lot about it.
Well, what high school doesn't complain about, you know, the classes that they're doing? So at a school like LACSA, are you still doing traditional classic, you know, core classes like your English, your math and science? Or is it really strictly focused more on your art?
No, yeah, we did have like English and economics, all of that fun stuff. I was always a history fan, so I loved doing I love government classes and economics classes, all of that. But they do kind of integrate art into the classes. So as to make it easier for us, I guess, to understand. Sure. And some of our projects could have been dance projects, or they could have been acting the scene from Hamlet or something. Like, they definitely integrated ways to keep us interested, which is really great. Yeah.
Did you find it easier because, you know, you went to a traditional elementary school, started at a traditional junior high? Do you think that it was easier being at LACSA, having the arts incorporated into your core subject classes?
I think it's easier to be around people that have the same ambition and are like kind of that understand where you're coming from. I think a lot of what I struggled with when I was younger was people who didn't really get it and didn't really understand why I cared so much or why I couldn't hang out after school because I was going to rehearsals or auditions. It was really nice to have people who understood and who got excited about the same stuff as you did and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I went through a similar experience. You know, I started at the Canyon Theater Guild at 7 years old. And much like you, it was like, I'll do a show here, I'll do this, I'll do that. And there wasn't a lot of that free time to hang out with other people. And even in high school at, you know, Saugus High, people were like, hey, come on, we're going to go, you know, we're going out, hanging out and driving around town. I'm like, sorry, guys, I have rehearsal. You know, that old cliche that we say in theater. How were you able to manage that, being able to find a social life and still be able to, you know, keep up with what you were passionate about in the arts?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't have much of a social life my freshman and sophomore year, but when it came to like junior and senior year, it became a lot easier because I also did a film in my junior year in Louisiana. And there I was able to meet a bunch of really amazing people. And that I think was kind of it kind of pushed me into being like, meet people that inspire you, that amaze you. And I did. And I found that to be really, really important and crucial to my journey as an artist. It's not necessarily a selfish thing because I do enjoy the company of others, but I find people to be people teach me different things. And I found that to be really, really important. So I kind of made time with all of the craziness that's going on to be able to hang out with my friends and kind of get normal for a little bit, because that stuff can really help you and like ground you, which is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of said you were working with people or meeting people that kind of helped inspire you. I'll pause for a sec.
Yeah, no, sorry, the light fell down.
That's all good. I kind of noticed. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is it like a squeegee thing?
Yeah.
Okay. There. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
I love doing live events. So you said, you know, that you were able to meet different people that kind of inspired you as a performer. Were there any teachers or anything like that in your school years that helped shape you as an artist? Any piece of advice that they gave you? Any name drops that you'd like to do? Any, you know, professors that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Oh, well, I mean, my vocal teacher, Renee, definitely Urbanovich, she created me as the performer I pretty much am today. Like, she raised me practically in vocal wise, and she's incredible. But I also think my dance teacher, Gina Newman, competitive dance.
Hold on, we lost you for a second there. Hold on for a sec, Emma. Are you there, Emma? Because we got a frozen screen.
She's
the internet.
Oh, there you are. Sorry, we lost connection for a second. You were frozen.
No worries.
I'm just going to give it a quick second and make sure that the connection's still good. And then we'll get back into, I'll ask the question again just about, you know, teachers that helped inspire you. And then that way we can go from there. So.
Okay.
No worries. Gotta love technology. Sometimes it works and sometimes it's your enemy.
Yeah, I know.
Up. We may have to start a different Zoom session, because that's happened to us before, where sometimes we have to, there's something going on with the system. We end what we're doing currently, we'll start a new one. And then that usually helps us finish out our interview. But let me just see if it's caught up to us here. Anyway, okay. How's it looking over on your end, Will?
Yeah, whatever
it was.
Yay. I think we should cut.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we'll take like a quick fiver, you know, stretch out, get some water while we make sure our tech stuff sorted out. I'll probably email your mom. It'll probably be a new Zoom link. So I'll email that out as soon as we get that set up. Let me see what time it is. Alrighty. So you kind of mentioned that you were able in your work, you were able to meet people that inspired you and kind of helped shape you as a performer. Who are some of those people that you've met in your career that have helped you become to the level of performer that you are today?
I think the most like amazing people in my life that have helped me to become the artist that I am now are teachers and coaches,
sure.
as well as like coworkers. But I feel like that special bond that you make with your teachers, specifically for me, like I had a vocal teacher named Renee Urbanovich. She actually works near Santa Clarita. So
yeah,
that she's really amazing. My dance teacher, Gina Newman, who I've known since I was like practically a baby, and I love her so much. And like David Wells is one of my acting coaches, Walker Clark, people from all over, Donna Morong, so many different people I can't even begin to list. But
sure,
yeah, I mean, I'm so extremely grateful for the bond that I've been able to create with them, and just, I think learning things from different people from all around is so, so important and so crucial to a performer. And I mean, if you just stay in your kind of like one with one teacher for your whole life, I feel like that's fine. But also there's so many more amazing, cool things that people with different stories can teach you. And it's just so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as artists, we have that ability to make those connections when we're meeting people. Like you said, you were working on a film in Louisiana and you're able to kind of meet other kids that were like you in the same career paths and stuff. And you guys were able to form a bond that way. Do you think that that's something obviously that you've benefited from being able to make those connections with people in the industry?
Yeah. I mean, meeting people that have different life stories and like people who are from different places, people who are into writing, into directing, into not just acting is really, really inspiring to meet. But also the people who aren't actors, like that I meet everywhere, are also very interesting to me. And I think maybe even more so because their way of life and the way their brain works is very fascinating to somebody who, you know, is a performer through and through. It's interesting to meet different kinds of people like that. Yeah.
So you finished up at LOXA and you moved on to college. What college are you attending currently?
I go to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London. So I'm on my third year. So that's my last year. And
fantastic.
This is the year where we get to perform and everything, and people can come from the industry to see us and public shows. So that's very, very nerve-wracking, but exciting. And I've loved my 2 years so far. It's been crazy and stressful, but incredibly amazing. And the people are just such amazing actors. I've never been around so many like incredibly driven and hardworking people in one building. I've never seen that before. It's insane.
You're 3 years into your program studying at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. I made a note so I knew what to say. So you're 3 years into studying in London. Have you noticed a difference to how they teach acting and performing in England versus how we teach it here in America? And if there are any differences, do you mind sharing what you've noticed?
Yeah, well, I think it may not be, because RADA is kind of like the equivalent of Juilliard in America. So I think that they would teach it there. But I think overall, the idea of working on Shakespearean text and Jacobean text, what is the other, restoration work, Greek tragedies, all of those things, I feel like I didn't know anything about for a really long time. Not to say it's like better or anything. It's just a different kind of avenue to get there. And also working on Meisner and Stanislavski, I think I completely understand it a lot more than I used to. I might have learned about it more if I went to college here as well, but I feel like I have just the most amazing grasp on specifically Meisner and how that can translate into any kind of work, not just like modern text, play, film. It could be, you know, Shakespeare, it could be anything. And it's about it being real and it being genuine. It just being in the moment, that quote absolutely. Of acting is just living truthfully under imaginary circumstances. So
absolutely. I'd say
it's, you know, it's different, but I think that they do it like at Juilliard and everything, but yeah.
So what you're studying is, and your path right now is more of a traditional sense of acting as opposed to focusing on just musical theater, which I know in the grand scheme of things, acting is acting, but when you're learning, it's almost two different styles. So are you learning more of a traditional approach to acting that then you can apply to musical theater?
Yeah, I mean, we do the classical stuff, but we also had like musical theater classes and singing classes and all of musical theater things that we kind of work on. We don't necessarily always hone in on it because, like you said, acting is acting. So it's sure. just kind of what our program is. It's just acting. So we do like to dabble in that, though. We go down those little avenues. So sure. yeah, that's really fun.
Have you noticed anything, because something that I've noticed as a performer is if you are someone that's done a lot of musical theater and you go in to do a straight play where there's no singing, there's no dancing, and there's actors that are used to doing that, do you feel any sort of tension? Have you ever experienced anything like that? Because I've had some people that are like, you're just a musical theater actor, and just like, no, I'm an actor. I just happen to do a lot of musical theater work.
I mean, I used to get that a lot, like a lot, especially in LA, I'd say, yeah. because musical theater, I think, isn't as, it's not as widely accepted in LA, I'd say, as it is in like New right. York or sure. London. But I think it's getting better. I used to think yeah. back then, I'm like, I shouldn't get an BFA in musical theater because I should just be an actor, and an actor could do everything and I could do anything. You know, that sure. was kind of my worry, but I think it's getting a lot better now, the way people are just seeing it. Like we were talking about how acting is literally just acting. You feel things the same way, you respond and you live in the moment in that way. And it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It used to be an issue for me being like, oh, I don't want people to think I'm this like musical theater person, but now I kind of embrace it because it just yeah. means that we can do a lot of different things as well. It just means we have
exactly. We have more doors that are available to us because, you know,
yeah.
like you said, your strength for a long time was your dancing. And obviously I've seen videos of you singing. You've got an amazing voice. You've got the skills as an actor, as a musical theater person. We're a little bit more well-rounded as a performer, I feel, because we can do yeah. something. You know, in the classic Hollywood days, I found this out as a teenager, like in West Side Story, those aren't the actual actors singing. Those were dubbed like they do in Singing in the Rain. And my mind was blown. I'm like, well, why are you doing a musical if you can't sing? Get out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really nice to hear that, you know, you feel like there was a little bit of that, but now it's kind of more accepted that, yeah, I'm a musical theater actor, but I'm also an actor. I can do it all. Yeah. That's what I'm trained to do. One of the things, you know, prepping for this interview today, I took a look at, you know, some of the stuff that you've done. I know you've done some film and TV work. Have you found that you prefer doing one versus the other, whether it's stage work or television and film? Do you have a preference as to which type of acting you do?
I think I lean more towards TV and film personally. Okay. The way that I kind of that kind of setting and being in on a sound stage, or I don't know, that intimacy of
sure. just
being there with the camera and picking up on all of the intricacies, I find very, very heartwarming. I don't know what it's just like. It's like sure. my happy place is like on a set whenever people say go to your happy place. But
yeah.
I've been doing theater for a really, really long time. It's something yeah. that I grew up doing, so that'll always hold a really warm place in my heart, and I definitely want to do both, like no sure. question. I would not choose between the two, but I think that my preference in like watching and kind of analyzing and stuff is with like film work for me.
Sure, absolutely. As a performer, especially, you start out doing theater, you've transitioned doing some television and film work. Did you find any challenges of being like too big? Because in theater, we're always told play to the back row. And then once you get to film, all of a sudden it's like, here's the camera, play to this.
Well, I remember when I was younger, I would go on tons of auditions for agents, and they would all be mm-hmm. like, well, we could just by looking at my resume without even having to like me doing anything, a scene or a monologue, they're just like, oh, we don't want her because she can't do film, because we can see all of your credits as a musical theater person. And we're sure. like, we know that you're not what we want. And that wasn't really fair for me, but but it's true. Like I think for the me learning how to go about different platforms, it is different and it's interesting, but sorry about that. It is
all good.
Different, but I think that I just found it a lot easier to adjust to like a camera and being, I don't know why it felt like it was just more personable and
sure
easier to be more realistic. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, well,
it's like you kind of said that, you know, you're learning the techniques of being present in a scene. And obviously, as a performer, that's our overall job, is to be present in the scene. But if you're just working, you know, in television or film, and, you know, it's just you and a couple of people in that scene, you don't have to worry about being too big, obviously, because you're just being in that moment because you're making that connection one on one.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, it is however you respond to it's something that they taught me in like in classes. It's like there's that thing that strikes a chord with you in a line that somebody says, and that's supposed to change your point of view on or sure. your action towards someone. It all affects us the same, no mm-hmm. matter if you're on a screen in front of a camera or you're in front of Radio City Music Hall. Like it always hits you the same way as it sure. should, you know, because that's the whole like the reality of it. And I just found if I just kind of hone in on the idea that the way you react to things isn't wrong, and that is the way your character would, and how mm-hmm. you kind of are triggered into something, like something snaps in your head, the ouch moment, we call it, like the oh
okay,
that kind of feeling, like it I feel like it translates the same as long as you don't think about it that much, you know.
Sure. So yeah. After college, you're in your final year, so congratulations on that. Once you finish college, you know, is what's next? Is it just going back out on the path and auditioning and looking for work?
Yeah, I mean, we're all hoping that there will be like more of work to go to.
True.
At this point, it's all kind of scary at this time. But,
yeah.
But yeah, that's the hope. That's the if everything works out like it will, but
yes,
I think just going right back into it, but also going back and reading plays and still doing a bunch of work and show and like shows in my off time, because I don't really want off time ever anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff will ultimately make you even better, even after college education, after a BFA. Sure. It doesn't really matter as long as you keep that up and all of that. And if I get more professional work, that's obviously the goal. But until then, yeah, it would be to keep honing my craft always, because I think you always have to do that.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into my final question here is, if you could give advice to young Emma, you know, years ago when you were first starting out, or if you could give advice to this next generation of performers that are in elementary school, you know, what's a piece of advice that you would give them, having seen what your career's done in kind of a short amount of time?
Yeah. I'd say that you shouldn't do it for anyone else. You shouldn't. Mm. You know, if you want to impress someone or if you want to look impressive, I think you're doing things for the wrong reason. I think
sure.
you need to work hard for yourself. And when you do that, it is like the world of possibilities are open to you. And the harder you work and show that, give yourself, that's what I like. Actually, I would say to my younger self is to be a little bit more selfish, like be a little okay. bit more like giving of yourself instead of thinking sure. so much about what other people are thinking of you. And
I gotcha.
It's about, no, like, this is me. This is what I want to do. This is my career. So I think I would go back and say, you know, just like, you know, do things for you. Don't always cater to other people, because this is your life and what you want to do and you love it. So
yeah.
I think that's what I would say. Be more selfish in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really positive thing, because, you know, we've heard stories of performers that get into it because a parent wanted them to be a performer or something along those lines. Or like you said, you know, you're thinking about what do they want me to do and not so much about what you want to do. So it's nice to hear that that's something that you kind of wish you were a little bit more, even as a kid, But it's something nice that at a young age that you are, you're seeing that now going, this is what I need to focus on moving forward, is I need to do what's best for me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's such a stigma around selfishness and like thinking that it's absolute, like just narcissism, but it's not. I mean, we all have egos. Actors have egos.
Yes.
That is just
yes, we do.
Literally what you don't, you're not an actor if you don't have one. So
sure.
It's kind of the accepting that and being like, so how can I use this to be able to tell stories? And that's kind of what our goal is to spread awareness about things in show. And that is the least selfish thing ever. So I think that for the ultimate goal of that, it's important to do things for yourself and kind to yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that basically wraps it up for us. I really appreciate, you know, you taking time out to speak with us today, especially knowing that, I know this will air a little bit later, but you're getting ready to fly back to London, go back to school. So I really appreciate, you know, in that crunch time that you could be hanging out with friends, saying your goodbyes before you're out for a year or so, that you took time out to speak with us. I think it's really insightful for these students to hear someone closer to their age, especially, that have performed on Broadway, have performed in film and television, have performed on the Tony Awards. So I really appreciate, you know, you sharing your story with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's really great.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Emma. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me here at the Newhall Family Theater. Until next time, I'm your host, Tom Lund. I'll see you backstage.